Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, should be a familiar text to most of us. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." So I would ask the question this morning of anyone who is considering what faith to pursue, what religion, why should I choose to serve the God of the Bible? Why should I choose the Christian faith? Why not some other religion or some other option? I just wrapped up my world religions class this semester at Spoon River College. It was an interesting discussion. We talked about the living religions in the world, and so by living, that kind of means the idea of religions that still today have a lot of people practicing those religions throughout the world. So a lot of the old, ancient, pagan religions and things like that, they're not considered living religions today, even though there may be some adherence to them in some little tiny corner of the world. But these are the big ones. And what's interesting to me is, of all of the world's religions that are still alive and being practiced today, they're broken up into two main categories. They have what you call Eastern religions and Western religions. Eastern religions is most of the world, actually. There are a lot of Eastern religions. The big six, though, are Hinduism, Buddhism, Jainism, Taoism, Confucianism, and Sikhism. Sikh is probably the smallest of those, but it's still got quite a large following. And then Western religions, you have what we would be much more familiar with, Judaism, of course, Christianity, and then Islam. Those are the three Western traditions. And you think, why are they grouped and lumped together like that? And the reason is because the Western religions have many tenets of faith in common, and Eastern religions also have many commonalities among what they believe and how they approach life. When we think about Eastern religions, they, in fact, do share many common characteristics, but the way that they view things is quite foreign to us Westerners. For example, the way that they view the divine is vastly different than what we're used to. Many Eastern religions are polytheistic, that is, they believe in many gods. Some are pantheistic, which means they believe that God and the universe or nature are one and the same thing. Most don't ascribe to the idea of a creator God, that is a supreme being who created the universe. Rather, they view the universe as something that just has always existed in and of itself. And this divine, their concept of the divine is much less of a personal being and more of an impersonal force or energy that kind of surrounds us and flows through us and of which we are a part and trying to become one with. Because their ideas of God are so loose and kind of nebulous, the gods that do exist in these Eastern religions, they're gods that aren't particularly interested in humankind. Certainly not as sort of these kind of divine lawgivers or judges of the world. There is no idea of a God who kind of condemns anyone in the Eastern religions. Yeah, the gods could give you special favors and they could help you out with some stuff, but there's no God up there that says, "Here's the rules, and if you don't follow them, I'm going to judge you and condemn you to, an eternity in hell." That's a Western religion concept. And now, obviously, though, this idea of God would have been very appealing in the ancient world that was dominated by paganism. When you think about paganism, think about like what comes to my mind is like the Roman pantheon of gods, or like the Greek god Zeus and Poseidon and the gods like that. Maybe even like Nordic gods like Thor or something. You know, the religions that are certainly not practiced today, but were very prevalent in the ancient world, because most of those people viewed their gods as somewhat oppressive. It wasn't that the God was there to kind of watch out for you and take care of you. Rather, you were there to make sure you didn't anger the gods. And so, you know, if you wanted to have a safe voyage, you better offer a sacrifice to Poseidon and curry his favor in that. If you wanted victory in battle as a Greek, you better make a sacrifice to Ares, the god of war, to make sure that he is on your side and that he's not a little bit peeved with you. Right? And they had gods for all sorts of different things. The rain and the harvest, fertility, all of those kinds of things. And it was the idea that if I don't stay in the good graces of this god, bad things will happen to me. And that's not the Eastern concept at all. Their view on the goal of life and the afterlife is also vastly different than what we're used to. In most Eastern religions, the goal of life is to merge back with the divine. Even though it's this energy that kind of flows through all of us and surrounds all of us, because we're in the flesh, we're still kind of separated from it. And so the goal of life is to escape from life and merge back with the universe. Some of them call it describe it as achieving nirvana, you may have heard of, or escaping something like samsara. This is achieved by the individual through rigorous self-discipline, self-reliance, and self-improvement. Most Eastern religions hold to an incredibly high ethical standard. Despite the fact that they don't have a God giving them rules, they have a lot of rules for themselves. Especially as it relates to their interaction with fellow man and nature around them. And this ethical standard is pursued and ultimately attained in order to escape from the physical realm and become one with the universe. You know, in some of them, they describe it as accumulating for yourself good, positive chi and avoiding bad chi, you know, bad energy. And when you get to the point where all you have on you is good chi and no bad chi, you escape from samsara. You escape from the cycle of life. Some of it put it in terms of karma. And so you go through life and karma is kind of the thing that follows you around. You know, it's the result of your deeds. That's the way we think of it. They think that if I can do enough good deeds to those around me and to nature, I'll accumulate enough good karma that I'll be able to escape from this life and reach nirvana. They oftentimes describe this as being enlightened. And one can become enlightened and one with the divine and thus escape their mortal existence. The problem is that this often takes more than a single lifetime to achieve that goal. And thus you have in many Eastern religions the idea of reincarnation. I didn't do well enough in this life, so I died, and now I'm going to be reborn again, taking with me all that chi and that karma, and I've got to try again until I can perfect myself and achieve enlightenment. And I would suggest to you that ultimately all of the Eastern religions are what I would call a works-based religion. That is, where you go after this life is 100% determined by the individual and his or her effort and ability to achieve. There is no God out there who cares about you enough to save you from yourself. And so in those ways, the Eastern religions are vastly different than what we think of as religion, and indeed the Eastern or the Western religions. What's interesting when we look over at the Western religions, they also share many common characteristics. Judaism, Christianity and Islam are all monotheistic religions. That is, they believe in one God who is the supreme being, creator of the universe, who is actively engaged with his creation. As such, he is a lawgiver. He's the one who makes the rules, and therefore he is the judge of this world and the one to whom we will all answer one day. There's also among these three religions an emphasis on covenant relationship with this one true God. That is, we love him, we obey his commandments, and by doing so, we maintain a relationship with God. And where we go for eternity after this life is determined by our God, and really whether or not we are in a relationship with him in this life. Further, in these three religions, they all teach that we as the individual are not saved by our own efforts, but rather we are saved by the mercy or grace of God. Now, I know I've used very Christian language there, and certainly that principle is the most obvious in Christianity. But understand this, even when you go back and read the Old Testament in Judaism, under even the law of Moses, the people recognized, those who got it, they recognized they weren't actually saved because they performed all of the right services to God. They recognized they were only saved because of God's loving kindness and his mercy towards them. And fourthly, these three Western religions all believe that God has communicated with his people, revealing his will to them, and in each has inspired a written record for their keeping. The Jews call their holy text the Tanakh. We call it the Old Testament. The Christians, we have what we call the Holy Bible, which is the Jewish Tanakh, the Old Testament, and what we call the New Testament, the New Covenant under Christ. And then Islam has their own inspired writing, the Quran, which was given, according to their tradition, through the Prophet Muhammad as the final revelation of God. What's interesting, when you think about the age of each of these traditions, Islam is the youngest, which means it was the most recent to develop. Before that, about 500 years, was Christianity, and about 1,400 years before that was Judaism. The Jews obviously only accept the Tanakh, the Old Testament, as the inspired word of God. The Christians accept the Old and the New Testament as the inspired word of God. What's interesting about the Muslims is the Muslims accept the Quran, the New Testament, and the Old Testament, all as the inspired word of God. Now, they might have some disputes or concerns about how corrupted the Old and the New Testament are, but they still believe in all of those same things, which is really interesting to me. So what's the big difference then between Judaism, Christianity, and Islam? Why are they three distinct religions? We were having this discussion in class, and it occurred to me as the professor was drawing something up on the board that the defining distinction between Judaism, Christianity, and Islam is the way that each of these three religions views the man, Jesus of Nazareth, which is the question we started with in our reading. Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" And there was a lot of opinion about that. And there certainly is a differing of opinion among Jews and Muslims in this regard as well. The Christian views Jesus as the Messiah, as the Savior, as the Lord, as the King, as the Son of God, fully divine, who died for our sins and rose again to give us life everlasting, eternal life. The Jews, they don't believe that Jesus, though they believe that there was a real man, a historical figure, Jesus of Nazareth, who walked the dusty roads of Galilee and Judea, they don't believe that he fulfilled the requirements to be the Messiah that was prophesied about in their scriptures. And so they reject Jesus as the Messiah. They don't accept him as being a divine being or in any way an intermediary between God and man. They would not describe Jesus of Nazareth as even a holy person because they saw him and his claims as a threat to what they view as the truth of God's word. I found this quote from Ben Shapiro, who is a relatively modern Orthodox Jew, and he described it this way when asked on a podcast by Joe Rogan, well, what do you think about Jesus? He said, what do I think he was historically? I think he was a Jew who tried to lead a revolt against the Romans and got killed for his trouble. Just like a lot of other Jews of that time who were crucified for trying to lead revolts against the Romans and got killed for their trouble. And I think that's a pretty accurate way in which most Jews would view, that is, practicing Jews would view the man Jesus Christ. Just a man, got himself into some hot water, and got killed for it. No more, no less. The Muslims are kind of a mixed bag on Jesus, though. On the positive side, they would say that Jesus of Nazareth was indeed a prophet of God. They count him among all the prophets, including Isaiah and Elijah and Moses. They would fit right into that text there in Matthew 16. Jesus said, who do people say that I am, the Son of Man is? Well, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. A Muslim would go, yep, he's one of the prophets. In fact, a Muslim in their Quran teach that Jesus actually is the Messiah. So they agree with that. They would say that he was indeed miraculously born of a virgin. And that he was gifted with divine powers. He could heal people and he could cast out demons. However, they do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe that there is only one God, Allah. And Jesus is separate and distinct from him, therefore cannot be God. They also do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. In fact, many Muslims don't even believe that Jesus died on the cross. Those who believe that he was actually crucified think that he was taken down off of the cross before he actually died. Others think that he was taken straight up into heaven, and that it was like an apparition or something that was nailed to the cross, or he was replaced by another human being. What's interesting to me is that it's not just the Western religions, though, who have an opinion about who Jesus is. Almost every Eastern religion has some view on Jesus as well. The Hindu, many of their gurus and scholars acknowledge Jesus as a great spiritual teacher. Some even suggest that he is an avatar, that is an incarnation of a deity. Others would describe him as a yogi, that is a sage who has attained full self-realization. Generally, Hindus view Jesus with respect as a moral exemplar, emphasizing the values of his teaching and his wisdom. They hold him in high regard, but they don't think he's divine. The Buddhists view Jesus with respect as a figure of high spiritual realization, potentially even as a fully enlightened one. They've achieved it, except they haven't gone on to the afterlife. They decided, I'm going to stay here and try to teach some other people how to achieve it as well. They don't believe that Jesus is divine or that he rose from the dead. Buddhism rather focuses on individual enlightenment through the practice of self-reliance rather than relying on a divine savior. And so though they appreciate Jesus' teachings on compassion and nonviolence and love and forgiveness, teachings that all, by the way, align with Buddhist principles, some Buddhists would even make parallels between Jesus and the original Buddha, who developed the religion. The Dalai Lama, who is a leading figure in Buddhism, has described Jesus as a universal teacher and a figure of high spiritual realization, potentially as one of these fully enlightened ones. He also said that Jesus lived previous lives and that he was able to attain his high state through Buddhist practices or some similar means. Most would see Jesus as a model of how to live life, embodying integrity, authority, and truth. Again, a pretty high mark of Jesus. Jains do not accept Jesus as one of their spiritual leaders, and so therefore they don't consider his teaching as a part of their faith, but they do recognize the positive values that Jesus promoted, which align with Jain principles. Principles like love, compassion, service to others, and doing nonviolence. Some Jains see Jesus as a figure who can actually inspire and guide others towards spiritual growth. So, yeah, he's not really a part of our religion, but hey, he could lead you to the truth. Interesting that they would say that about someone else. Confucians, they would likely view Jesus as an ethical leader or teacher, but certainly not a divine savior. They would view Jesus of Nazareth very much the same way that they view Confucius, who was the founder of Confucianism. He actually lived, I don't know, like 500 years before Christ. And he was always taught in Confucianism, he's just a man, a wise teacher. And if you listen to him, though, he can help give you the answers to escape from this life. Confucius, in fact, one thing I found said, you know, if Confucius had known about Jesus, of course he died like several centuries before Jesus, but if he had known Jesus, he would have likely viewed him as an individual worthy of respect for his teachings on human relationships and moral character, but would not have considered him divine or a figure to be worshipped. Taoists, which is kind of the sister religion to Confucianism, generally viewed Jesus as a figure who embodies principles similar to the Taoist ideals. They would call him a sage, that is a spiritual being, someone who was physical but has attained such a high level of spiritual understanding that they can now guide other people on their spiritual journey. Taoists appreciate Jesus' emphasis on compassion, love, and living in accordance with what they call the Tao, or the way. Some may view Jesus as a kind of spirit immortal, which is kind of their way of thinking about those who escape the mortal realm and attain immortality. The Sikh would generally hold Jesus in high regard, viewing him as a prophet or an important figure in spiritual history, though they don't believe him to be God or a divine being in any way. What I find so interesting about all that is that of all the world religions, everybody seems to want a piece of Jesus. You don't have everybody saying, oh yeah, Buddha's so good. Oh yeah, Confucius is so good. Oh yeah, you know, Muhammad is so good. But everybody has some good, outside of Judaism, everybody has something good to say about Jesus. Yeah, he's a good guy. He teaches some really great stuff. If you follow him, you're probably going to make it. I find that really interesting. And though there is a great diversity among the religious people about who Jesus was or who he is, most of them hold him or whoever he was in a very high regard. So let me suggest this to you. Settling the question of who is Jesus lies at the heart of the matter. Certainly, this is the dividing line between the three Western religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. But I would suggest to you that it is also the thing that sets Christianity apart from all of the Eastern religions, and really all other religions that have ever existed or ever will exist. If Jesus is who he claimed to be, the Son of God, deity who came in the flesh, died for his creation, and rose again to give us eternal life, then not only does this demonstrate that Judaism and Islam are inviolable options for seeking the one true God, but it also disproves the validity of all other religions that deny or question the reality of the one true God, who created all, is over all, and in all. In other words, if Jesus is the one true God, as he claimed to be, then not only does it prove that Judaism has got it wrong and Islam has got it wrong, but it also proves that all Eastern religions are shown to be false at their very most fundamental level. Because God does exist. And so when we think about this question that Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Understand this, that was not just a question for that day and age. That is a question for all time. And how we answer that question will determine the course of our lives. So, who do you say that Jesus is? Was he just a man? Or is he more? Was he a pretender attempting to lead a religious political uprising who was summarily executed for his efforts? Or is he in fact the prophesied Messiah sent by God to deliver his people from the bondage of sin? Was he simply a great prophet and a moral exemplar? Or is he in fact the Son of God, deity who took on flesh, died for our sins, and rose to give us life, and as such, the Savior of the world? What do you think? Consider this quote by C.S. Lewis. He once said, "I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God." That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a good moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. End quote. So in other words, C.S. Lewis is saying, when you consider the claims that Jesus made about himself as recorded in the gospel record, we're left with only three options. Jesus was either a lunatic, a liar, or he is the Lord. What do you say that he is?